Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to be reading verses 21 through 27. Luke chapter 9, if you're using our Black Pew Bibles, that's page 1004. So Luke chapter 9, continuing our consideration of the beloved physician's account of who this man is, what he has done, so that we might place our faith, our hope, our trust in him. So Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 21, right after the confession that Peter makes that Jesus is the Christ of God, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." And here's our text, verse 23. "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." And then let's read again verse 23. That's our text. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the call to follow Jesus Christ is a radical call, a call that demands a total commitment. Following after Jesus is not something you can decide to do for this moment and then decide not to do the very next moment. And indeed, it is a commitment that demands your entire being, the entirety of your life, and one that must be considered very seriously. Jesus says to his disciples, and indeed to everyone who would be his disciple, "If you want to have life, you must follow after me." Now, children, perhaps you remember that game, or perhaps you still play that game, Follow the Leader, and you know how that game goes, right? When you play Follow the Leader, you have one person who is in front, and whatever action that this leader performs, everyone who follows after them must perform the exact same thing. Wherever the leaders go, you go. Whatever they do, you do. And if you fail to do what the leader does, you have lost the game. Well, today we are going to see that Jesus instructs his people, follow after me. Follow after me means do what I did and go where I went. Jesus says, follow me. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he met these various disciples in their various occupations. He would speak to the fishermen. He'd said, follow me. The fishermen would leave their nets and follow him. Following Jesus means to be a disciple. If anyone would come after me, they must go where he goes and do what he does. It's not supposed to be easy. It's not something which is supposed to be a flippant, something we decide to do at the split second and then decide not to do a few minutes later. Far too often, the following that we are commanded to do, the following after Jesus, is viewed like choosing items from a menu. When you go out to eat, well, I decide to do this, I decide to do that. Far too many people view Christianity like choosing from a buffet. I'm going to choose this, I'm going to choose that. It doesn't really matter. It's not all that significant. But it's not supposed to be easy, and it is not without its cost. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, if you are going to come after me, consider the cost. It is going to be costly. It's very expensive. It costs everything. Consider the cost. It comes with a huge price tag to follow after Jesus. Jesus, in Luke 14, that's the context of building a tower. He says, a person doesn't build a tower without considering the cost. So for us as Christians, we need to consider the cost, the price that Christ demands for following after him. Following Jesus is one that demands a full commitment. A full commitment of every fabric, every moment of your life, or else you will be like that man who tried to build a tower, laid the foundation and ran out of money and became a laughingstock. A Christianity without commitment is no Christianity at all. Indeed, many supposedly Christian preachers today are pushing this idea that if you become a Christian, you will be happy and healthy, and if you become a Christian, everything is going to go well for you in this life. But that is not the life that Jesus is promising. Our communities are filled with casual Christians. They have the concept that they are somehow right with God or have made themselves right with God, but they have never counted the cost, and they do not carry their cross. Jesus makes it very clear. The cross comes before the crown. This life is a life of cross carrying. The crown is yet to come. So our theme is found in verse 23. Verse 23, with this theme, that Jesus calls his people to take up their cross and follow him, follow after him. We start then by looking at the first claim, our first demand given by Jesus Christ in verse 23, and that is to deny yourself. You know that in the game, children, when you play follow the leader, you deny yourself the rights of doing what you want to do. To play the game properly, you're not following your own agendas, you are following the agenda of someone else. You are denying yourself in order to follow after someone else. Well, the passage here says that to deny yourself is literally to forget yourself, to forget that you even exist. It's a very strong word. You have no care for yourself. You have no remembrance of who you are or what you want. You disown yourself. A Christian who denies himself looks upon his own flesh, looks upon his own desires, his own inclinations with extreme suspicion. My motivations, my desires, what I think is right, is pushed aside. I deny myself, disowning myself. Just as Jesus did in Philippians 2, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he denied himself. He made himself lowly, taking on the form of a servant, considering the needs of others before his own. Jesus denied himself, and thus he says to his people, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself. The fact is, as Christians, we do not have personal control over ourselves, over our possessions, over the direction of our lives. We are not our own. Denying yourself says, my plans, my ideas, I reject them, not my will. My life is not my own possession. Denying the self means that whatever we think life is supposed to be about, whatever my hopes or my plans might be to prosper, to enjoy a long life, the pursuit of individual liberty and happiness is pushed aside, denying the self. Jesus is not saying you need to deny certain things. Jesus is not going to give us a list. If you want to be a Christian, you need to deny this. You need to deny eating meat, or you need to deny getting married. That is not what Jesus is saying, because 1 Timothy 4 says, food and marriage, these things are good gifts from God. You receive them with thanksgiving. They are sanctified by prayer. The denial here is the denial of the complete self. Not just a few individual objects or things. It is a complete denial of the self. And in denying the self, you can then properly receive gifts from the Father with thanksgiving. But if you don't deny yourself, every gift that you get will not be properly received. Jesus is saying, when you deny yourself, you're losing yourself, and in losing yourself, you end up gaining everything. To deny yourself means that you're no longer looking to your own abilities, you're no longer looking to your own hands, you're not trusting in your own morality or righteous living to make yourself right with God. You have denied that all. When it comes to your salvation, you forget that you even exist, and you look completely to Christ, denying yourself. Now, it's interesting that in this particular context here, Peter, in the previous verse, has just made this great profession, this great declaration of truth, and towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, this very same Peter is going to deny that he even knows Christ. The opposite found in verse 26 says that if you deny or if you are ashamed of the Son of Man, then he will be ashamed of you. So if you deny Christ, he will deny you. But if you deny yourself, Christ will embrace you. You see, the dramatic reversal, which is contrary to all human logic and reasoning, is when you put yourself last, you end up getting first. When you deny yourself, forget yourself, forsake yourself, you end up gaining everything. Denying yourself means Christ will acknowledge and embrace you. It's a radical change of focus and direction. Acknowledging that Christ is to be our only hope and our desire. It's denying my happiness, my pleasure. It's not about what I think is right or good. I don't desire the acceptance of men or the easy way or the lavish life, but I acknowledge that I am a pilgrim. My ties to this world are temporary and passing. I follow my master. Holiness is not a matter of eating and drinking, but a matter of a holy and righteous life that follows after Christ. So the first radical step of being a Christian is that you are forgetting yourself, denying yourself. But then secondly, we're taking up our cross. Taking up your cross. Jesus says, take up your cross. He does not say, take up my cross. The reason that's a significant point is that when Jesus took up his cross, it was to purchase our salvation. The cross that Christ carried was unique because it was the purchasing of atonement. The cross that Christ carried was the cross to suffer the wrath and curse of God in our place. Christ literally carried his cross to the place of the skull in order to suffer in our stead and to purchase our deliverance and to gain life for us. Jesus says, I have carried my cross, and since I carried my cross, you must now carry your cross. Our cross is different. Take up your cross, lift up your cross, and follow me. The cross is not just a burden. The cross is not just an inconvenience, but it's a cross. Maybe you've heard this phrase in conversations with other people. They're talking about, you know, some inconvenience or some pain that they've gone through. Well, that's just my cross that I have to carry. That's belittling the significance of the cross. The cross is not some insignificant burden. The cross is an instrument of death. The Jewish people knew that when you carried your cross, it was a one-way trip. There's no coming back. When you carry the cross, you are going to death. A Christian who carries his cross is one that acknowledges a life of death. Colossians 3, put to death whatever is earthly in you. The cross is the crucible. Daily your sins are being burned and your impurities cleansed. Taking the cross means that you know that this body, this flesh, these sinful desires need to be killed. Putting off the old man, taking up your cross, means death to the flesh. But there is a second aspect, because death also will come by way of rejection in this world. Since our Lord was rejected, since they hated and persecuted him, we know that those who take up their cross to follow him will be hated and persecuted in this world as well. It is to take on the life of suffering. Philippians 1 says, suffering for his sake. Only in losing your life will you save it. Verse 24 says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. So the twofold aspect of death is individual and in this corporate sense of the world. We are dying to the self, we're dying to the selfish desires, to my pampering of the flesh. And we are dying in the world which hates, persecutes, and kills God's people even to this day. Now this is hard, because every one of us here likes to be liked. We don't like the idea of people hating us. And we like the life of ease. But Jesus says, if you are going to follow after me, you need to struggle against the tyranny of sin within and die to yourself and stand up in a world which will increasingly be hostile towards you because you are following after me. Die to the self and die to the world. That's what taking up your cross means. Once again, a radical commitment to following after our Christ. And we do this daily. Verse 23 says, take up your cross daily, every moment of every day, reminding ourselves to take up your cross. When the alarm clock blares in the morning, until you lay your head in bed at night, a Christian is reminding himself, I'm dead. I'm dead to my sins. I'm dying to the sins that remain. I'm dead to this world with all its passing pleasures. I'm dying, and I am dead in Christ. Putting my eyes not on the things of this world, but the things that are to come. Taking up your cross daily, as verse 24 says, losing your life, but in the end, you will save it. Once again, that radical reversal of the Christian life. When you die in this life, you end up gaining eternal life. When you bear your cross in this world, you end up wearing the crown of Christ in the world that is to come. Taking up your cross daily is a this lifetime calling. It is not eternal. When your daily journey, when your struggle on this side of the grave is over, your cross is cast aside and Christ will place on you the crown of righteousness that he has purchased. We have to be willing to die to ourselves and follow after Christ in this life with the promise, with the hope, with the assurance of the crown that is to come. So there is a self-execution, and there is a hatred by the world expected, which forms our cross. The cross is heavy, it's pressing, it's reminding us, die to self, live to Christ. As Matthew 10 says, if you do not take up your cross, you are not worthy of Christ. We need to change what we expect in this world. If we expect life to be easy, if we expect the struggle against sin to be easy, we are mistaken. The battle against sin that remains in you and me is carrying a cross. It's pressing. It's a battle. It's not easy, brother and sister. It's hard. It's death. And don't expect the world to love you. They hated Christ. They're going to hate you. Carry your cross. Because after you carry your cross, one day you will wear his crown. So we deny ourselves, we take up our cross daily, and finally we follow after Christ. As I said before, the call to follow after Christ is the call of a disciple. Come to me, walk where I have been, walk with my people, follow in my footsteps, conform to my image. Choose you this day whom you will follow. Now imagine for a moment that tomorrow when you turn on your television and you hear a political candidate saying, if you vote for me, I can promise you a life of suffering. You will lose your life. That's what those who follow me will get. A life of pain. They would never say that. So we ask ourselves the question, why would we follow Jesus? Jesus said before in Luke 14, count the cost. Have you counted the cost? Do you know what the cost is to following Christ? Do you realize what Christ is demanding of you? If you will follow after him, he is calling, demanding you to forget yourself, to die to the flesh and die to the world, and to follow him. Why would we follow him? Remember what this is instructive, that when Jesus was teaching the crowds on the bread of life, he says, if you want to live, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And from that moment on, the vast majority of the disciples who called themselves followers of Jesus didn't follow him anymore. His words were too difficult. It was too hard to become a Christian. The cost was more than they were willing to pay. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and says, are you going to forsake me as well? What did the disciples say? Where else can we go? You have the words of life. Count the cost. Know what Christ demands. A radical self-sacrifice. Dying to the self. Dying to the flesh. Why follow Christ? Because when you die to the self, you find life. The fact is, if you try to gain this world and try to hold on to the passing things like money and pleasures and homes and vacations and houses and whatever fill in the blank, if you try to grasp onto those things and you hope in them for eternal blessings, you will end up losing your very soul. Why follow Christ? Because when you die to yourself, you end up getting eternal life. When you throw off the things of this world, you get the riches and the inheritance and the eternal home, which is better, which is greater, which lasts forever. In losing everything, you end up gaining it all. The Christian life is costly. It's far too costly for many. They lose too much, and they walk away. But in persevering, there is great gain. These words are hard. The life Christ calls us to live is difficult. It's a struggle. It's a battle. But remember, you are not your own. Your life, your times, your all It's in his hands. To conclude, when we follow after Christ in this life, forgetting the self, taking up your cross, we are promised that after the cross comes the crown. That's why I read from 2 Timothy 2 earlier. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Those who forsake themselves end up gaining Christ. Indeed, the last become the first. There is a glory that comes, but not in this life. In the life to come, the reformers spoke often of the theology of the cross, the theology of suffering. We don't like that. Our flesh recoils at the thought. What do you mean I have to die? Christ says you're not your own. Only in losing it all, forsaking any trust in the self, or looking to the worldly pleasures for eternal blessings, only in forsaking these do we find eternal life. So forsake everything, count all as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as Lord. Philippians 3, I consider everything as rubbish in order to gain Christ and in him righteousness which comes through faith. Jesus Christ reveals that glory is found through suffering that was purchased for us through Jesus Christ. Remember, we don't carry Christ's cross. Christ's cross was the one of atonement and redemption that purchased our justification. That was done once for all, but we who follow in his footsteps must expect to carry our cross, because in carrying our cross, we will also wear his crown. Jesus Christ reveals that the only way to glory is through suffering. The only way to life is through death. So may we all put to death the sins that remain and come alive in the image of Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these sobering words reminding us of the radical commitment to forget the self, to forsake, to deny, and to take up our cross, to confess, to believe in Jesus Christ. We do pray, O Lord, that you would give us hearts of maturity, that we would be equipped, that we would be emboldened, that we would be steadfast to do the work that we are called to perform by your Spirit of denying the self, taking up our cross, and following Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.